Another episode of Sauce Talk. This is a nice one, a special one. I got, returning guest, Sam Jones, Pick and Roll Podcast. I got returning guest, Chaz. And I got a new guest. We got H.O. Canada in the building. H.O., I would say, as far as what I know from him, standout football player, Capital High School, hell of a lyricist. He's busting my ass in basketball. I don't know how many times in YMCA league. Ticketmaster representing. But no, I'm glad we got H.O. here. What's going on, H.O.?
Man, what's up, man? Thank you, man, for having me. For real.
No problem. What's going on, Sam Jones?
What's good?
What's up, Chaz?
Thinking about the decades H.O. been spitting.
Yes.
You've been nice since the late 90s, you know what I mean? Since I picked up.
Appreciate it, man. It has been a long time, man. Still moving.
Right.
Still
moving. And that's the key.
Yeah. That I would say for your music career, in this 4 years? 3 years?
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
A little bit more than two.
What have you been doing?
So, man, I took a long break from music because, with age, you get older. A lot of things you're not into. Get older, wiser. So, I start freestyling in the car, getting in the car, and start freestyling more. And people was like, man, get back in the booth, record some real music. So when I decided to do that, of course, the life I'm in now, I got to talk about what I'm doing. And so now everything I'm doing is positive, uplifting music. It's still got a little grit to it as far as the style and stuff, but it's definitely uplifting and it's gospel, man. I'm trying to show people my testimony through my music, basically. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah.
I've listened to it. I watched most of your videos. Your videos are, like you said, when you've been in the car, but when you start doing music videos, that right there, I was like, he's out there getting it in.
Yeah, man, I'm still having fun with it, man. It's totally different now. Like, the way we record and the way we used to not even know how to mix and master our music, man. It's totally different. Even the style of these MCs now is different. I still got a old school sound, but I think people listen, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like God let me get people's ear from back in the day, and that allows them to, tap in now and still listen and know I'm going to say something, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Whereas some of these artists, I'm not knocking nobody, but a lot of people listen to the beats these days, and some of the rambling and the fast rapping that these dudes do, it's not a lot to me. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of that stuff that's being memorized by the fans. Some of it is, I'm sure. But some of them lines, I'm like, ain't no way kids is... I can't say kids, because kids reciting that stuff.
Yeah,
sure. line for line, you know, but... But
younger,
yeah,
younger.
My stuff real simple, straightforward, man. But I appreciate the shout for the music, man, because I'm definitely trying to spread, a positive message, man.
And a damn good production too. I mean, like, go check him out, Hugh Holla.
Yes, sir.
Hugh Holla. But we're here for we get to the meats and potatoes, but I'm still waiting on Sam Jones's mixtape. He keeps talking about he gonna come out with.
Everybody else spitting, spitting. Nah, I just wish I could rap sometimes. But I can't rap, I don't do no rapping. That's the funny, that's funny. I be sitting there, be wanting to spit some bars. I remember going over Mazi's and he's sitting there mixing down U, Perm, L, U, D. Perm, wow, Mazi, yeah, Marshall Petty, shout out Mazi, yeah, Mazi's that dude.
Had the beats.
Crazy. That's good, man. Is everybody, I would say, just to kick it off on a sports note, but I'm saying, was everybody happy with the state championship? I mean, I know there's a lot of, Kanawha Valley here, Capital.
Capital County player of the year.
Yeah, that was big time. And, having somebody that could have played for Capital, maybe should have played for Capital, went to South Charleston, didn't go there, and then ended up going to Huntington. Ended up getting the state champ. They lost their first game. Huntington did. Lost their first game to a Spring Valley at one point.
Yep.
It looked like it was like, oh boy.
Right.
I can't say too much about Capitol High because, you know, they didn't go all too well. South Charleston didn't either.
Right.
Parkersburg South, they made it to the final against Huntington and got beat 28-3. That's the unbelievable right there.
They had a lot of billboard material with people pumping up that offense and stuff. And I think Huntington really fed off of that, man.
Yeah, they really did. They really did.
But truth be told, when you was talking about us being, you know, from around our area, I definitely was cheering for Huntington. Definitely cheering for if South Charleston ain't in it, Capital ain't in it, GW, the county ain't in it, we going to cheer for, you know, the southern state, the southern part of the state.
Especially because it's kids that we're familiar
with. We know the majority of them. But on top of that, you got all them titles that Martinsburg been running off.
Try and keep it this way.
They starting to feel themselves a little bit up there.
And as they should, they done got cocky and they don't want enough to where it's like you got to respect them. And I didn't care who won it, just somebody down south, you know, because that's every year, because it's going to be hard to catch up to Martinsburg. They had a great run, and it ain't over.
Mm-hmm. They're a melting pot. They're a DC exactly. suburb.
Exactly. Yeah, they took Huntington to the wire pretty much.
Sure it is.
In the North
Cities
this year. So.
Hurricane was up in the mix too, man. Hurricane was in the playoff. I mean, like, I just hope next year, you know what I'm saying, we get Capital, you know, put together. Mark Mason, I got faith in the guy. But basketball season starting up, that's my saying, my plan, my goal this season, especially with basketball, is to try to get to more games, but just to try to get to more information. I'm going to sit there and do more episodes to talk about what's going on with high school sports. And with high school basketball kicking off, that's like, we got a 4A school, you know what I'm saying, thing going on where we got teams with national, you know what I'm saying, schedules. You know, that's big time right there. I mean, like, Capitals, do they play some teams like in Ohio or something like that, am I right?
Yeah, they usually always play.
Sometimes, South Charles, sometimes they'll get them. Certain tournaments.
Right. So, I mean, is what's the buzz like? Because, like, my thing is, like, me just now trying to be a sponge to something I'm trying to get really back into. What is the buzz going on with Capital High School basketball this season?
I'm not 100% sure. I've been trying to keep up, you know, with the social media and stuff. I know preseason they weren't in the rankings, top 10. They might have got some votes. I didn't look down there, but I know South Charleston is, I think they was preseason number 5. I think Capital, if I'm not mistaken, they lost a few pieces. Capital lost a few pieces from last year, and we know South Charleston lost some pieces due to, you know, what went on up there with football.
Yeah.
But that kind of indirectly hurt their basketball team too. Mm-hmm. I think Capital is fairly, they still got the Hines kid. They got Markel Booker, a couple other kids. But I'm not sure what the expectations are, but sometimes that's the best when you fly under the radar, man. By tournament time, hopefully they can be pushing to, you know, get to that Civic Center and make something happen.
I mean, the Civic Center be popping with that state tournament. And what we was sitting there talking about before we record is like the video productions, you know, that's a big way that, you know, people, you know, streaming. It's good quality, you know. It's for these teams to get good tape because, you know, we got Huddle and you got Max Preps, you get highlights, stuff like that. It makes it a whole lot better for these kids to get seen, especially in West Virginia. My last guest, or I would say, but the guest I had, Leroy Ellison, when he was talking about being up north of the northern side of West Virginia, especially with his travel ball league, you know, trying to get kids even from on the southern side of West Virginia. He was sitting there, you know, talking about how hard it is to try to get you know, a good read on where kids is going to go because there's so much transferring going on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like you come into a situation where it's always the coach. You know, it's the coach, it's the coach, it's the coach, it's the coach. And, you know, what's the, I would say one of the bigger things that I wanted to open up with, kick it off with, is the fact that West Virginia is a state that you got to have a teacher's degree to coach.
Yeah.
And I have to be completely honest that I would say that there's a lot of coaches that has that power that don't know how to coach or don't have the connection with the kids is going to want to play.
Yeah.
And so you're going to get, if you have a tryout, and you have some kids that want to try out, but you're not getting the kids like, yeah, we're going to win a state championship. Like it's like Sam Jones here, you know, his days of playing high school ball, that's something that he wanted, something he thought about, wanted to put a team together to try to do that. Now, players went elsewhere, here, there, whatever, because of the coach.
Yeah.
Sam, like, what is the one thing that you would say that, I mean, like, what to my big gripe of that, is that the number one thing that you would say that it hurts a Capital High, a South Charleston High School, that rule right there alone will prevent them from winning state championships? Or just being, like you hear complaints. Capital is like, yeah, I'm not going to Cap. And that's bad when you get to that point to where it's like, I'm not going to Cap.
I think that the coaching overall in West Virginia is low across, like, the high school ranks in all sports, for real. I mean, you got your good coaches here and there. But overall, I think that rule, it holds everybody back. I feel like there could be, the overall product of West Virginia sports could be better if every coach didn't have to be a teacher. You know what I'm saying? Because there's good qualified coaches that aren't teachers.
Yeah.
I don't understand the rule.
And I agree with Sam, like, because there are some good coaches. Like, all of them aren't bad. And I actually coach youth basketball, travel and stuff. And I've learned, I'm always taking up for these coaches because I know until you've been over on that bench and you take in some criticism and stuff, you know, that's when I start taking up for these coaches. Now, as far as the teacher, you having to be a teacher, the coach, like, I just thought about it. Actually, it could be possibly part of, you know, how West Virginia can't pay like some of these other states can, you know what I mean? So I just thought about this. Being a teacher, and I could be wrong, but maybe being a teacher, it helps them keep from having to have an outside, you know, that person's within the Board of Education system already. And it might not, you know, if I get an outsider to coach, maybe that person could lobby for more money or something. I don't know. But I just thought about that. But it definitely would help if that wasn't a rule, but it always has been. And these coaches that are coaching, another hats off to them, they're not getting paid nothing. Mm-hmm. Like kibbles and bits, for right. real.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another, I mean, problem. But it's we especially on the middle school level, I feel like probably 85% of them probably shouldn't be coached.
Yeah, and that, but
you know, and that's what leads to high school.
Yeah, that's what hurt the sports the most, is because middle school is like, those are crucial years.
Yes, in
whatever sport you play.
Yes,
those are crucial
is.
Years, and you need to be getting valuable instruction in them years.
100%.
And some of these players, like when I was coaching AAU on the girls' side a couple years ago, I was talking to some of the girls because I had an eighth grade team, and they was just talking about, like, they play tag at basketball practice and stuff. Like, yeah. They ain't even do basketball stuff at practice. They don't know how to really play basketball. And they be talented, but they don't know the game like that.
Yeah.
They ain't never really been taught.
Years, yeah.
Yeah, like, they don't. Like, you should be developing a lot of the IQ stuff in the 6th to 7th, 8th grade. It's you should
crucial.
Be learning a
learning
lot.
Learning how to play as
yeah.
a team.
You should be learning a lot in those years.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, there's things where, like, football coach, especially in Texas, like, I got a cousin in Texas doing an amazing job with his son, Deosion Yancey. No, Donnie
yep.
Yancey, his father, man, doing great things. And he got him in, you know, he was taking him to, you know, I'm not trying to down Midwestern or these, you know, midget leagues, because just like the Super Bowls that just went on, these are good coaches, good, you know, saying good men that's coming up to where, like I said, that Bright needs to be coaching more as they grow up to where,
yeah,
get up there, because I'm not downplaying him, but I'm just saying that the one thing he said, the one that I agree, is that taking my son to Texas is like the exposure to things so early. Mm-hmm. And it's like the showing the hard work, or showing just little quality, small detail things mm-hmm. that doesn't get shown here.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's just something where I would say with basketball coaching, you know, a kid is, you know, you can't get too complex or whatever like that, but you, like you said, you can't be having kids run around playing tag. No, you know, there's certain things you can be teaching kids to where fundamental things where they can get that out the way.
No doubt.
And as a kid, they can, like, you know, they start working on things themselves.
High school coaches should not be having to go back and teaching like zone principles and man principles and stuff like that.
Right.
That should, you get the high school.
Like, you know. On. You come should on. Know.
Yeah, and part of that problem, I think, too, is that there's a big turnover as far as the grassroots coaching, as far as every so often you got different coaches coming in, because normally it's some dads, and once their kids move mm-hmm. on, and nobody's on the same page. Like the little league is not on the same page with the middle school. The middle school is not on the same page, and that's asking a lot. Like, it's not, I think it's not easy for them to get on the same page. For one,
especially for football, that's how it should be. I feel like. Yeah. The Little League, middle school, and the high school should be running real similar things. And
Junior
you
Rockets.
Go all the way. Yeah, you go all the way through, and then by the time you get to high school, you done been through a majority of this offense. You done been, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Believe it or not, that happens in the smaller communities, like your Nitros, your Hurricanes, your Pokers. That happens, and that's the way they do it. That's the way they've been doing it for the most part.
Yeah.
What hurts the Charleston, the greater Charleston area, is that it's more teams, it's more spread out, and everybody, it's harder to get on the same page. Whereas the community of Hurricane, yeah, them kids in Little League running the same stuff their high school is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't knock these coaches, but it's gonna be hard to get a coach to go outside of what he's trying to do, even on the little league level, because he just, this is what I do, and no, we ain't trying to hear. I think Coach Swain actually, I think they tried to do that years ago, but it just never came to fruition, man.
I think the focus just be a tad bit too much on winning too young.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
But not even trying to really win, though. You're just trying to win the way you want to with the players you want.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. That's tough, like, man. Come to a draft. I did a draft one time with my daughter. And the two top players come in. And when the coach comes over there and said, hey, they got to be on the same team because they ride together. Top two players.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, on the same team. They ran undefeated, just ran through it. But you ain't teaching really nothing.
Yeah, I think to your point about like Hurricane and Poke and all that, they have to be locked in and do all this because they don't have the talent necessarily that we down this way have had.
Talent everywhere.
But the thing is, we got to mix both of those, talent with the locked in and coaching and everything. And that's the thing. That's the fall off.
Yeah, it's some egos, man.
Facts.
It's some egos.
And for no reason.
Like I said, I'm not knocking one group, one person, because truthfully, man, I applaud these coaches for spending their time not getting paid. You know, a lot of them just volunteering their time, man. Some of them, I've been around a lot of them, mm-hmm. and I've played basketball. I know a little bit about basketball. I played football. I know a little bit about, and I've been around some coaches that don't know nothing about what they're doing out there. But at the end of the day, I gotta give them props for volunteering. Now you get a lot of people in the crowd that, you know, if you're losing, of course, because everybody know if you're a coach and you're losing, it's your fault. Yep. If you're winning, it's the players' praise. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it go. But a lot of these parents and people in the crowds, you know, when they're losing, that's when they come down on these coaches and these organizations. And I just feel like it's bad, man. My dude, J.R. Kenny, shout out J.R.
That's the best coach
he told me,
ever.
J.R. told me when I started coaching probably 20-some years ago, and I was coaching my little brother, Chris, with Ron Hall and Will Collins,
Michael Hurd, some of them kids. And J.R. Kenny told me, he said, man, the worst part of youth sports is parents. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And as I gotten older, I understand what he means. Like, and I, for some reason, I feel like our area is worse than a lot of other areas, man, when it comes to that.
Because, no, it's not, because they got the Friday Night Tykes in Texas.
Yeah.
They be on there fighting, too.
Yeah. And you know what?
Same shit that they argue about.
No doubt.
Akeem Talib's brother just killed someone.
No doubt. And you know, I've been to other communities, and I see it. But I think ours is sometimes more on Front Street. Now, I know, of course, that was on TV.
Yeah.
So that's Front Street you can get. But I see it, like, people don't have those conversations behind closed doors. I see in our community, it's the yelling and screaming at the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or at, you know, I always see it. Like, I done seen, even in the past few weeks, I done seen two kids on the basketball court tell their moms to be quiet, shut up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like real talk. Like,
that's crazy.
That's crazy.
You would not believe.
As well.
Like, to play a basketball game in a quiet gym and your mom or your dad is yelling at you and the coach trying to keep your attention too.
Mm-hmm.
We make it so hard on these kids, man. And I'll never forget seeing these kids tell their mom, be quiet. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to play. And then you'll go up to South Hills, you know what I'm saying, or Nitro, and it's quiet in the gym. You know, they're not screaming. Now, they might do it outside of the game, and I'm not saying it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the way our moms and our culture yells at our kids the whole time, they not having no fun. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no way.
They can't focus either.
They can't focus. They not listening to their coaches.
Turning around and looking.
Embarrassed, probably.
Yeah, it's a little boy on my son's team that he got to yell at his parents
sometimes. And it's not easy, trust me, because I have a son, and, you know, of course, me coaching makes it hard. And I've sat in the crowd, you know, in certain leagues where he would play, where I'm not coaching him. And it's very hard not to talk to your kid because you want him to know, you know what I'm saying, what's right. But I've been working on that myself, too. Like, let him play, let him make his mistakes, you know, talk to him after.
Yeah.
It's hard when you've been a coach, though.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and some of these parents... And I ain't nothing against women, but these moms, man. Bruh.
Be half knowing what they talking about.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. Listen. So, mom's favorite line in the basketball game, all the way. It ain't all the way every time.
Because they go every time they get the ball.
It's not.
I'm gone.
I coached a kid that shot the ball so much.
I mean, I would say, like, I guess the confidence or the attitude where we would not be less shouting, but more like, you know. Like,
yeah.
You know. And it was like, you know.
And see, as a coach, I don't necessarily get upset with, I tell my players all the time, don't look in the crowd. You know your parents' voice. We know they're going to yell. You don't got to look over there at them to hear them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking to.
Listen,
and the dads usually, actually, sometimes I like it because the dad telling you what I'm going to tell you,
mm-hmm.
you might listen to him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The dad's usually doing the hustle type, play hard. You know, when the mom is like, go all the way. They can't guard you, baby. Shoot,
the wrong type of encouragement.
Shoot the shot.
I mean,
there's parents against the coach.
There's parents who sit there and tell the kid, look, you got to be averaging 30 or 25. Like, you ain't get 30.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Have a kid, like, oh, my God, like, bogged out. Like, I got to get 30. Like, and that's, you know, that's psychological.
That's a good point because a lot of parents don't realize a coach telling your kid one thing and you got something else in their mind. You know what I'm saying?
They're like, who do I listen to?
Right.
And they're pulling their hair out, sitting there like, I don't know. Coaching with, I would say, like, what you were sitting there saying, like, coaching and parents, you know, you got a parent saying one thing to a kid and the coach sitting there saying one thing. And then whenever the coach talks to the parent, you know, then that comes sometimes from friction.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's not always peaceful.
Yeah.
And then coaches got to deal with that type of stress. I mean, like, it's tough all the way around because that's why you said you got to commend coaching. You got to commend.
You're so bad.
that I had a team this past year. Had a team. There's 15 games in the season, All-Star season. We're 15-0, and I got a parent complaining about like game time. Like, so they don't even, you know what I'm saying, not even looking at the ultimate goal is to win as a team, you know what I'm saying? Of course, we blowing some teams out, so everybody playing.
Yeah.
But, like, it's all about my baby, which, you know, everybody going to love and take up for their own kid. But I think it's kind of bad when it gets to that. You know, the team is undefeated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they'll complain regardless.
Yeah, I've dealt with that, like, even with – winning, because I coached the team of the YMCA. It was a younger boys team, and then I coached both boys and girls, 5-year-old. And then, you know, you get complaints from the 5-year-old setting where you just like, whoa, like,
wow, amazing.
And you know, like, amazing. I'm just teaching here, and you know, I'm telling the kids like, we're not gonna be mad if it's not being mad if we lose here in this situation. We're learning how to play basketball. We want to win, because I think at that age, it's more about learning the game of basketball. Then when we win, because those games, a lot of times, especially when you're teaching a kid 5, 6, 7, a lot of those possessions are, it's crazy. It's mayhem.
It is.
It's mayhem, man.
It's kind of hard for, I'm glad my son is playing, because my son's 6. I'm glad he is playing, but it's hard for them to learn out there because you got a bunch of kids that's real good, and then you got some kids who ain't out there doing anything.
Yep.
And then it's just a bunch of running around and a bunch of standing. And there's no in between.
Yep.
And it's just like nobody's really out there learning. You got the kids who already know, and then you got the kids who don't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like it's hard for at that young of an age, it's hard for them to really.
It's just scrimmage.
Yeah, it's not really basketball though that they're playing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like I'm like hands up. You dribble.
It's not really.
If
like,
you want to pass, I'm like you get to a shot. You get to a shot. You shoot your shot. Exactly.
It's like one kid on every team who can steal the ball from everybody on the court
and just take off. Yeah, and then they miss the ball, get off his rebound. Yeah. Miss to get off his rebound. They're like,
he going to get 20 fast break layups. He going to make about 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah.
Truthfully, that's in every league that I've seen, too. It's like
that.
Age. But it starts in your regular community leagues. And then it gets a little better once it goes to All-Stars. And then, of course, travel as far as that goes. So it is levels to it.
Yeah, I was saying that to say, though, they need to – it's like that because – all everybody care about is winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like when at 6, should be out there like, all right, we playing a 2-3 zone. Like,
yeah.
And learn how to move the basketball, move in the zone, like to actually try to actually learn something.
I think the upward league does a little more to that extent than we, even our groups do. You've heard of upward. Even though that's normally the developmental players, they do a little more structured games
than what we do. They need to learn how to play because, I mean, the kids is not learning that in the games that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I think travel ball is real good because, for one, the parents are paying, so they're going to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The kids, so the kid is probably taking it seriously for them to even consider it. And then you're getting travel, so you're seeing how it works other places, not here. And you're seeing a whole bunch of different talent.
Travel is a big deal. It's become a big deal, football and basketball.
Yeah.
It just opens your kid. I mean,
I don't too much agree with the travel football, but travel basketball, I think it's a big boom. I think that's a big one.
I wasn't a big fan of the football, but I see that it's kind of like you were talking about earlier, Chaz. Like, it's just West Virginia ain't been on that. Everybody else been on it, and like, I wasn't a fan. I probably never let my son play it, but
it's too much football.
I know. I've heard from some people who are into it that are more knowledgeable about it. Explain some things to me. that I wasn't taking into consideration, like Matt Watts and my man Drew. They explained it in some ways where I was, because you know you probably hitting on the concussion and mm-hmm. the contact and all that.
Yeah.
The way they explained it, it made some sense to me, where the games are going faster and, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I still wouldn't do it, but I'm not as bad as a, you know. It is.
I just think if
10-year-olds to be having pads on all year round is crazy.
I wouldn't do it. But
it's crazy. Like, it's crazy. I can see
their exposure at 10 is all right. Not valuable.
All
right. That's a topic.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I've never been. I'm just like, so you mean to tell me that we've transformed football into an all-year thing to where, like, we got, now if they was doing 7-on-7 majority of the time, flag, I would be totally cool with it.
Yeah.
But you sitting there saying, like, you got a situation like Bishop Sycamore, you know what I'm saying? Like say, like, if, for example, you got these grown, you got people cheating, grown men playing on teams, or these teams trying to shice the ways to win on some of these travel football levels.
Yeah.
That's not good on an amateur kid. That is not even, you know what I'm saying, like, not ready for that type of, you know, it's just to try to win. That's been the main topic of what we all talk about. It's always just the point of, like, trying to win. It's like that age is not, come on, man. It's like, it's not that serious to where that will go on. To where you got travel football, there's going to be a kid older. They're going to try to sneak a kid that's older or something. Oh,
that definitely
happens. Definitely going to happen. And that's just not good. It happens in basketball all the time.
Yeah.
And they're going to go out there and get 40 points, you know, maybe elbow a couple kids. But football?
I think if you asked some of these guys that's knee deep into it, they have a defense for everything you just said. I mean, and it makes some sense. Like I said, it won't say I ain't sold on it, but they definitely would have a comeback to a lot of that.
Probably just sound good.
Yeah, that's what I definitely would. I guarantee they can make some sense.
Because there's no way you can spin it. If they got on pads, it's still contact, no matter how fast the game is going.
Yeah, but the thing is,
year round,
what it is, though, is that there's a large amount of, and when you guys are talking, you know, you're probably talking overall, so mm-hmm. not just West Virginia, because mm-hmm. everybody's doing it.
Yeah,
so
we're talking about
the overall whole country. I feel you.
It's just too much football, especially, like, they told us that football, like, people should be taking less hits, and so we're gonna have the kids do more football, more little league football. Yeah. It just don't make no sense.
Yeah, this conversation has been all and over then, Facebook.
Like you said, the main goal is not for them to learn. The main goal was to go out to town and win football games. Like, it's not even,
they don't even make sense. They'll spin it for you. They got something for all that. I think you might need to bring
like, what kind of, because they probably say something about college exposure. What value does exposure do you at 10 years old? They're going to forget about you, buddy. They can't offer you nothing.
I never fell for the exposure.
Yeah,
thing.
Like,
I,
what kind
nah,
of... Like,
I never fell for that one. You know, I would think that the ones I've talked to, it's like any other thing you do repetitively. You know what I'm saying? The reps that you would get is gonna make you a better player. And some of these kids, it's like my son, he's excelling in basketball. So I'm gonna put a lot of time into that. And they're just, some of these kids are football and they wanna do this stuff.
But you can do it without taking the hits.
Right, I feel you. And like you said, you know, maybe 7-on-7s. And,
yeah, man. Because that's cool. Yeah. Destroying out here, traveling out here, making that fun to watch, so it's not, you don't have to have pads on, especially with these kids.
And like, see, they'll tell you that. I would like y'all to talk to them, because I'm just relaying what I've heard. Like, they'll tell you that
do it in high school.
They'll tell you we only play one tournament per month.
So there's
we
no
don't
high
hit.
School at you? There's no high school travel ball?
Football?
Yeah. Is there not,
I think it, nah.
See? Why not that instead of having a 10-year-old?
Yeah, but they'll tell you that they don't hit.
That's probably my main once, issue with
once
it. Is
a,
the age.
Once a week, if that. Like, they'll tell you, oh, they got it down pat now. Trust me.
Yeah, that's my main issue with it is the age that you're doing. If it was some high school shit, I feel like that's cool. It's like AAU. But when you get to, like, I don't know.
And in the city,
kid's brain's not even fully.
In the city, they play, in high school, they play 7-on-7 leagues. Like, just like a whole season, like a regular football season. Mm-hmm. In Charlotte and down south, they play 7-on-7. That's their travel, you know.
Smarter. Still working on your skill. On your game and your skill, yeah, but you're not out there. They done found CTE in like 99% of the brains they can study so far.
You know, speaking of which, the recent one that I've seen, everybody remembers his name. When I say it, y'all gonna be like, yeah, John Abraham.
Yeah.
Defensive end.
Yeah.
New York Jets, played for the Falcons. I mean, like, dominated, you know what I'm saying? Like, that man, like, be having, like, sporadic, like, passing out, waking up, spazzing, like, takeoff running. They say he's done it, like, 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. You know what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great thing. But here's my point of the subject right here. Ben Gordon. Nobody remember Ben Gordon.
Basketball player.
Yeah,
something. Chicago.
Ben Gordon. He just got into something else.
He just got arrested for
trying to stab
people with sewing needles. What? Does he have CTE? What? So my thing is that when a football player do something crazy, it's like, oh, it's the CTE.
Right.
But like Ben Gordon.
Something wrong with Ben.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what? He looked crazy.
I saw that.
Wowzers, man. It's just
UConn, did he go
yeah,
there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, UConn. Yeah. Right, six man of the year.
Ben look bad. He
also
took one of them trips like boy. Delonte.
Delonte West.
You see them players like that, it's sad.
Man. It's sad, man. It's sad. Like
mental health and addiction
mixed
together.
Yep. It's true. What's his name? I was sitting there trying to think of a football player, Lord have mercy. I'll get back to that. But that is crazy, though, to where, like, CTE is, like, the main focus of, like, football now to where, like you said, I wouldn't let my son play. Every, like, parents are like, I'm not fooling with that. I'm not fooling with that.
Oh, the numbers have went down.
Yeah.
You know, for parents letting their kids play at that young age anyway, they went down.
I think it would be a solution. It would be a solution where flag football, 7-on-7, till high school. High school, you play football. There's a lot of pros that end up being nice pros when they start playing football in high school. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to sit there and be hitting and do all the stuff and pass as a younger kid coming up.
That was one of my points that I made in the discussion about this was that, you know, our players that we know, Derek Pitts and Rick Sherrod and Terran Rush and Ryan Switzer, mm-hmm. like none of them played this travel. So mm-hmm. you can't say, like my man Sam was saying, you can't say it's about getting a look somehow, some way, because you don't get no look. None of them played that.
Right.
You know, Kayshawn Haley and them kids didn't play travel football at all.
Right.
You know.
But, like I said, man, if it's all about trying to entitle a kid, I don't care what nobody say. Even in travel basketball, put an entitlement on a kid. That's the bad side. I mean, like, but it's not something that's automatic to every kid. It's like it's forced. It could be by bad parents. It could be the coaches. Sometimes it's like, it could be the organization. You know, the organization itself would be like, man, this organization got this prestige. You got to be great. You got to be top 50, man. You ain't top 100. Mm-hmm. You out. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it puts more so pressure to where a lot of times, I mean, like, yeah, I think how many kids it might just flame out.
You feel me? That's what happens all the time. And I think with the basketball, because that's more what I'm up on, trying to learn the boy side, because my daughter played college ball and stuff, and I knew the girl side of things, but I'm trying to learn the boy side, cause my son coming up. But like, it's like two ways that I see people should be looking at what they're doing. It's either you're going to develop a group of kids because kids jump around to different teams now all the time. When I played, I'm so old that when I played AAU, there was one team. Mm-hmm. You either made it or you didn't make it.
True that.
So now everybody's mom and dad got a team. It's easy to make AAU. So I think what it is, and we separate our kids and our talent. We go out of town. It's another thing we're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. We're going out of town with all the best players separated, hardly ever coming together. Every 10 to 15 years, you'll get a team that's real good. You know what I mean? So it's two ways to look at it. You're either, from my opinion and my knowledge, from me learning and trying to be a sponge, you're either going to take a group of kids and develop them and keep playing, whether it goes to big tournaments, little tournaments, keep developing them, or the other side of it is like you was talking about, being elite, mm-hmm. trying to build an elite team.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times what happens is you have that developmental team, and you know if you develop a team over 6-7 years, they can be good, you yes. know. But what happens is you go out of town and you get a little better. A lot of people will see one kid off of that team, and they tell them how good they are. So now they end up saying they're going to try to get on an elite team. Mm-hmm. Where that's just like in the NCAA tournament. You run into the NCAA tournament against a team that got a small school that got seniors on, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying, and been together. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
So people can do that, or they can try to build an elite team. And I've seen people try to do both, man. I mean, I can remember Shawnee Badger, and who did he play? Did he play with Perrier? I think he did.
They played like, in Ohio.
A team like that, you know what I'm saying? They went to like Vegas or something. Every so often, you get that elite group, man. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we trying to take a West Side team to play a team called All Ohio, mm-hmm. with the best kid from Cleveland, the best kid from Cincinnati, the best kid, all on one team. But we taking the West Side team, right. Or a Dunbar team, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas we need to come together, man. And it's hard, man. Like I said about the football, everybody's not going
to
get
it. It's only hard because of the parents, though. Everybody want their kid exactly. to be the one.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that's where it runs into the thing with high school, too, because that's where you got a lot of kids where you would be like, he would be going to American or the Spring Valley. They're at,
split what up. What people don't realize is when you play on a team that's real good and you have team success, like on a high school level, everybody gonna get looks.
Yep.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. It don't matter what you averaging. If y'all have elite, if y'all have success as a group, everybody's gonna get looks. You go to somewhere like you win Peach Jam or something like that, y'all all gonna get offers, bro. Everybody on the team who's getting wrecked is going but you can't go do that with a West Side team. Like, you can't go win a tournament like that with a West Side team. Like, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, not a lot unless, like I said, like if you started when they was young and they stayed together, which that ain't gonna happen. You
still ain't gonna win.
And
no
you
tournament
develop
like
it.
That.
You know what I'm saying?
That's gonna take a
conglomerate.
You gotta have. You gotta have.
I'm trying to think. There's another group.
Everybody wanna be that.
Well, Cookie, of course, went over into Ohio and ended up playing with Mayo and them too.
We've had
a couple AAU teams that have, you know, finished top 10.
Yeah,
when I say a couple, it's really a couple. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Back in the day, the Little Eagles, but they didn't just have all West Side people though. They had people from Ripley. Mm-hmm.
You got to do that.
Mm-hmm. Beckley.
Back when I was young, it was D-Man, Booker, Don.
Yeah.
That was a
Because when you start getting to them bigger tournaments, bro, like you said, you're going to have a team with, like you might run into a team called Midwest something, and they got the best players from Chicago, and Indiana, and Ohio, and all that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
That's how they know each other. When they get to college, they get in the league. Like, we was on the same AAU team.
Like, what?
Man, that's why those conversations like you had with Leroy Ellis, right? Leroy Ellis. That's why those conversations are needed, man. These people need to hear that stuff, man, coming from somebody knowledgeable.
Because these parents don't know. He in AAU for sure at that level that we talk about.
Right. No doubt.
For sure.
No doubt.
But I think that ties back, thinking about it, to what I said. We don't want to win. Coaches don't really want to win because I think it's just, for whatever reason, the ego and the everybody, like, we could all work, they could all work together and network and really get, really help each other. And I don't think people help each other a lot.
And that's, I think it's because people don't really understand it.
They don't. And that's why I said they need to hear my man conversation. They need to hear you talk to, it's a few other people that are, I would like to hear Mike Mason.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's been at the level Sam's talking about. My dude Scott Johnson in Huntington, people like that, man, like that's in the mix. That's on like an Under Armour circuit.
Is that the dude for the West Virginia Thunder?
Yes, like people like that, like, and these people
they just won that. That's what I'm talking about. They just won the whole Under Armour Summer Circuit.
Yeah, they're the number one. Damn.
All
they're
the number one AAU program. All of them watch.
Mm-hmm. They're number one program in the country.
That's well.
Yeah, they, all his
but
players
it ain't
always
just West
go.
Virginia. They call West Virginia Thunder, but he got Ohio.
Yes,
girls, mm-hmm.
yes, he does.
Girls,
but that goes back to what you were saying.
Yeah, because that's what Lee was saying. Come on,
you got to.
It's an organization. It's not a. It's not a region. It's like
they nice.
Come on,
them girls from Ohio.
We run a good. We run a tight ship here.
Best believe
and trying to really win.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You best believe having that name West Virginia on there is big to me though. Like. That's how you associate it with home, you know. But definitely, it's always a couple West Virginia girls on there.
You play in them big games. All it take, you hit a couple big shots in the semifinals, a tournament like that. Coaches be all on you after the game.
Like, we okay.
Like, damn.
We're off. We'll send you an offer.
Yeah, that's big. That's big ball there.
You got to build up a team to be able to get to that. People really think just because you go to Ohio for a tournament that's good. Like, you, man,
you got to go to the right tournament.
Yeah, it's not just about going out of town. People think just because you went out of town, like, okay, we going to Kentucky next week.
Yeah.
Because it's literally like thousands of AAU tournaments every year.
But that's part of the knowledge that
you got
to
know
need to hear
what
man.
You're doing.
And it's like goes back to what we said about egos, and everybody's not trying to hear where I should go, what I should be doing. They do their own thing, and it's hard to deal with people, and it's hard to bring people together. We know in our culture anyway, it's hard. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you starting a burger place.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody ain't trying to be on the same page, man. And that's what's wrong with us for real.
Beefing for no reason though. Like,
for real.
For no reason.
Got that right, man. It's tough, and that's why Leroy, you know, my good friend, he was sitting there saying like it's. That's why I'm with my organization. He got an organization with a friend of his that they getting together where they welcoming to, you know, saying to collaborate or to sit there and try to, you know, like Sam said, make a Midwest team or, you know, what I'm saying, make a tri-state team where he adding. So much talent. We're like, yeah, man, bring your kid. We're going to make his team. We're going to go to this tournament. Because like this man just said, you got to know where to go. Because so if you got a tournament, but I hear they got this upper echelon of kids, let's put this team together and go here. We got our teams, separate teams. We can go in these little tournaments right here. But let's make this big team to go and whip a LeBron team's ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, why not?
Man, I was proud to hear him he shouted Charleston out. True, he was like, the talent is down here for real, because he up in what, Morgantown, and he was saying the talent is down this way.
Yeah, like, he gave us a big shout out.
He was basically because
he tried to get DeMonte. He was like, man,
right?
He's like,
yeah. That type of stuff has to happen, man. You know, come together, like get the best kid from Beckley, the best kid from Bluefield, the best kid from Huntington, Charleston. And put a group together. It's easier said than done.
You're trying to get Wayne.
But on them type of teams, you're not going to get 20 every night. And that's what everybody's problem is.
You got to understand that.
Yeah. You don't got to. I'm telling you, you playing on a team like that, you don't got to get 20 every night. You just got to go out there and do you what you supposed to be doing. Yep. And them coaches gonna see that shit, man.
Because I went to the tournament with him, man. And you know, these kids was out there, you know, they get the ball and they think like a big shining light. You would think
girls team?
Yeah, but this was boy. It was boys, girls. It was courts everywhere. But you would think like on these boys and girls that when they get the ball, it's like a big shining light shines on them and they gotta just like get pop pop pop. Like this, it was this one kid, he was a guard, and he had he kind of looked like if I could think of somebody real quick, kind of like a shorter Franz Wagner type, but he had quick kind of handles. You know what I'm saying? Like, but every time he got the ball, he made sure he was going to do his move.
Yeah, every time.
Every time. He was going to do his move. He didn't give a damn if he was going to shoot or not. I'm doing my move. Pop, 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 pop,
this wasn't no, it wasn't no top tournament.
See, truthfully, that's the knock on AAU travel ball is, you know, is that kids aren't playing the way, I guess, the game should be played as far as team ball and it's a lot of one-on-one. Now, you always got exceptions with good teams that are going
to
play teams.
Right. You go to one of those...
be in the finals.
You go to one of those big tournaments we talking about, it's a whole other level. It's a different type of basketball. Like, I done played in them and been there to watch them. It's just different. Like, it's a big difference. When you see, like, what most of these teams play and call AAU, and then you go to a tournament like that, it's a big difference. And like I said, you're not going to take just the Charleston-based team.
You can't. They compete. Truthfully, they won't even invite anybody.
And most of those tournaments are invitation only. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. Most of them are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's plenty of talent down here to do it, but it got to be all the talent together.
Together. I agree.
Yep. That is true, man.
From Huntington. But it don't got to be the whole state of West Virginia. I think, because, I mean, we was able to put together a team to compete from, like, I mean, most of us was from, like, here at SC. We had a couple guys from, like, Huntington, had a dude from Elkins.
What organization did you
play? I played with JD, the Rising Stars.
Rising Stars. Yep, yeah. I remember. Okay. Yep, I do remember that.
We was the first team that we basically helped get the Rising Stars started.
Rising Stars used to have the biggest tournament in the city.
Yeah.
That one, man, that thing was huge.
That was back when we was playing. That's when it first started. We played in the first one.
It was probably like, I want to say, 10 sites where games was going on. It was all over the city. I remember seeing the players in the mall and everything.
That's wild. Matter of fact, I do remember that. Yeah.
It's hard to get them tournaments like
that. I do remember that. It was packed.
That's what that...
A lot of places. I was like,
that,
man.
That facility that they supposedly trying to do at the mall. You seen that?
Yeah. The one that they're putting in.
I like it.
Yeah, that's like something that hopefully, I don't know if it'll ever happen, but
we need to have an organization ready to go by then.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, too, like, you know how we was talking about, we always going to Ohio or whatever. I've never seen a tournament here. Now, that one, Rising Star, I saw some out of town. You're going to get a few teams, but I think something like that can make big teams and organizations want to come here if we do, you know, a tournament that's at that level eventually.
The main thing is getting the college coaches there. You get the college coaches there, the good players is going
to come. Yeah. They had the big shots at the Civic Center this past year.
That's one of the biggest. Man, my last year at AAU was like the first year Big Shots was getting started up, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy to see how big Big Shots is now from where it was when I was there.
Well, shoot, now they got, AAU has got watered down. Like, I think it's trying to make a comeback, but now you got the Big USBA. Shots, USBA, teammates, your boy, he probably know all kind of other, you know, circuits and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, because now all the brands got their own circuit now.
They got their own circuits, rankings. We actually went to AAU Nationals last year, my son with Team Mayo out of Huntington. And I think AAU is trying to make a comeback slowly. Because, you know, you probably know, even when you play AAU Nationals used to be the goal. Mm-hmm. And in your age group, there was probably 50 teams. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, it's so many other tournaments and things going on that at the AAU Nationals, it might be 15 teams in your age group. You know, so it's some changes.
That is some changes right there. Yeah. A major change.
They keep changing them recruitment periods.
That too, yeah.
They be pushing them recruitment periods back. Like now, you can only, I think it's only in July now. I think. Mm-hmm. Like back when we was in high school, the recruitment period used to start in April, the end of April. Now that shit like pushed all the way back to like college coaches can't even attend tournaments till like July 1st.
Yeah, they, and like you said, they keep changing. They change it so many times.
Mm-hmm. Move the needle.
Now, as far as recruiting, that's a good conversation too with our people around here, people we know with that are misinformed, a lot of them. Not saying I know everything, but you know, I've been around, you know, that Thunder program who sends 90% of their players to Division One. Yeah. You know, I've heard the coach from Easy Street, is that the name of
your Easy Street family?
Yeah. You know, and I've been through the process with my daughter, you know what I mean? And a lot of these people not in the know, man. Like, I even heard y'all touch on it a couple weeks ago. We just skip over Division II. Like, everybody telling their kid, you going D1.
And, I wish I would have known about
D2. A lot of these kids can't play D2 and don't even know it. Like, these parents, man, they killing them by just looking over the MEC conference, which is our conference in West Virginia. They jump straight to North Carolina. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. it was like he said he had a kid that, you know, that he knew was going to be D2. Like, he had all the D2 stuff, and he had a couple good games. And next thing you know, parents was like, "We need to make him D1." And it was just like, You said you know that you saw D2 in his future, and you're absolutely right. And now you trying to, you know, and it's not simply to say a kid shouldn't push for it, you know what I'm saying? But you gotta know your limits. And you know, he end up going D2, end up, you know what I'm saying, being a good, you know, it didn't work out as a D1. And he was gonna end up burning out and not playing basketball, I guarantee it.
Man, it messes our kids up as far as thinking you're too good or that good, you know what I'm saying? And I'm with you. Push for that, of course. But I saw some statistic, and I think it was football, though, where out of all the football, they did every state, out of all the football players in West Virginia, I think it was like 3% of them that goes Division One. And, like, nobody ain't paying attention to that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I don't know what it would be, basketball, probably even slimmer than that.
For sure.
But we just, you know, I learned when that school, Willing, my daughter played at Willing University, and she had a couple other little D2 offers, but when they're telling me they're going to give my kid over $100,000 that I don't have, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is real, you know what I'm saying? And then when a kid, some of these kids don't know, when you get on a D2 campus, a lot of the players on that D2 team came from Division One, came from JUCO.
Mm-hmm.
So we just overlook it like it's not a good brand of ball. Like, you'd be shocked. A lot of these kids that you're telling might be D1 can't go to West Virginia State and touch the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can. A lot of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's where we miss the mark, I think, sometimes, man. But it's got to be, with all that we've been talking about as far as our parents, and I don't want to be the one that sound like I'm a perfect parent or that I know it all. But this conversation, like, somebody need to get online and have everybody tune in and talk to these people about the things we can do to make it better situations for our kids. Because at the same time, we sitting here pumping up a kid how good you are, where you can go. And then we get to 12th grade, and the kid ain't even got no grades.
Mm.
Like, the kid ain't even took his test or set up stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, we just be all over the place with it, man.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna take a little break, get to the next segment. you know, like this conversation stuff, like I said, was definitely needed to be had, and that's why I was happy to have HO come through, and we're gonna keep it going. We're gonna just keep it a G right here, and just be like, this segment is about to end. We gotta get to the next segment, but we will be right back.
DJ, you right. Somebody always gonna be like, yep.
That's the.
Somebody always gonna be like, nope.
Yep. But that's. I mean, that's all well and good, because you know, like I said, for me, which I look at it like. It's, you get that on IG comments, you get the same thing on TikTok comments, you get the same thing on, like, people calling in, because I listen to, you know, Key, Jay and Max, and the people that call in, like, this is one dude that calls in, talks shits about Dak, hangs up. He's, I mean, same dude from Dallas, Cowboy fan, be like, Dak, I'm telling you, he's one gonna ruin the damn thing.
He get through every time, too.
And he gets through, they go, they know his name, like, Paul from Dallas or something like that. Mm-hmm. He get on there, he like, I'm just saying, we playing like good, you know, Tony Paul is doing good, he'll say, you know, but Dak, I'm telling you, Dak is going to sit there and ruin it for us, man, but all right, have a good one. Thanks up. I'm like, that's your team.
Dak's look good.
Yeah, like, defense look better, but Dak, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the Bears, if you think about it, the Bears had like, almost 70 more yards offense damn near than the Cowboys in that game. It's just, you know, like, I didn't know that. But it's like, it's just certain little things where it's like they're playing so much better with Dak. But it's like their defenses, man, their defenses.
Man, fans is crazy, too. Fans is so fickle and so in the moment. Like, what happened to all the bench Dak play Cooper fan? Like, they ain't even heard from him.
You ain't heard him. Now you gonna hear these Rams fans sitting there saying, Baker, Baker, Baker.
Shit. Yeah, right. they said
that he just here.
They said the best thing about that the other day is that Baker didn't know the playbook. Because they said he would tear that play, he would look bad. When he know it, he gonna look bad. They said that was the best thing to happen.
That's a good point.
Go out there without knowing.
Wing it.
When he can just wing it.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's like Tebow, in a sense.
That's true. Like, totally true. Like, he ain't got a chance.
What about like yeah, Baker Mayfield is basically like, okay, we can take a look. Because we're not going to sit there and try to, like, go and sign nobody, you know, crazy. We're going to get a free look, but you get a, you know, a nice compensation.
He got cut from the Panthers. That's on your resume for life.
But the Panthers, are they? Would you call them like a well-ran organization right now?
Never.
I would say no.
Never.
I would say no.
Never.
I thought Baker had some stuff, man, but the more you see out of him, the more it's like.
Right. I gave you a chance, but nah, you keep showing me other ones. Mm-hmm.
Because I think those type of guys you just see, like, man, like, you can see a team will play for them. A team can play for them. They will rally around them. But you have people that do have the goods, the talents, Carson Wentz, but then people won't play for them. And that's the crazy thing. It's an attribute. It's an attribute in itself to where it's not a throwing power. It's not how you can place the ball, but how you can lead. Because for some damn reason, a whole team made t-shirts that said Mike White. Now, Mike White might not be the best thing, because Dallas Cowboys had him and they was like, nah, you're going to take your ass from somewhere. And then the Jets gets him, and then he gets a following. Now, Mike White, you know what I'm saying, is like that guy. But then you got somebody like a Geno Smith, who people rallied behind him. You know, I've been kind of a guy that's been around behind Geno Smith a little bit.
That's
then you have
play, though.
Yeah, right, it's play, but that's what I'm saying. But then you got somebody like a Tyler Heinicke for the Washington Commanders. That team they rock with them.
Yeah.
You know?
They've been looking decent.
Right. Too. Another quarterback that you can see that they rock with is the Kirk Cousins. But we know he can't get it done. It's these quarterbacks that I named, we know they can't get it done. But it's nice to see that they can be like, but that's our guy. Because I'm a Buccaneers fan. Brad Johnson won us the Super Bowl. I don't give a damn what anybody got to say. Because he was the leader of the, you know, he was our player, man, you know, he was going to game manage. He was going to be that guy.
And see, that's how I'm with, as far as a Bear, you know what I'm saying, not always wanting the name or the, you know, the sexy looking quarterback, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, pause, but you know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of times people just flying under the radar and just can manage a game. I think, shoot, we went to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman, right?
Yeah.
Rex, I mean, mm-hmm. not that everybody don't want a Tom, but sometimes just don't lose the game.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't lose the game.
I think all those quarterbacks that you named, Kirk Cousins can throw the ball the best, but he does what you just mm-hmm. talked about.
Mm-hmm.
He does something to lose the game, and
that's why I'd rather have this right here, mm-hmm. the brain than the arm.
Like, yeah,
it goes a long way.
Yeah,
man.
It's like Jimmy Garoppolo. Sometimes he's got like a short glitch, because sometimes he can just throw one. You like Jimmy? Like Jimmy, you was like 12 for 14, just kicking it. You know, so you drove a drive, got a touchdown, and then like you have a couple drives, you ran the ball, you might have punted, whatever. And then all of a sudden, you throw one, and you're just like, Jimmy. He's going Jimmy.
It's also the hardest position to play.
Yeah.
Like,
your mind.
The most responsibility, and a lot of, you know, it's like a coach going to get the blame. The quarterback going to get the blame when you don't see that the line ain't no good, the receivers ain't mm-hmm. beating people in their routes. Mm-hmm. You don't see none of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's tough.
Right. I mean, that's like Mac Jones, man. Even on the sideline, he was like, man, let's pass the damn ball. Because he was like, this run game is terrible. And it's like, y'all hold me back. Y'all put this Zappy guy in, let him pass the ball across the lot. I felt his frustration.
Zappy shine.
You're right. That's what I'm saying. Like, why can I do that? Because I did it. That was crucial. I think Belichick has had it. It's time. Because he's never was a person to get draft players. Anyway,
right.
He's not getting the free agents no more.
So I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
I know some Patriots.
Let's talk about
actually
it.
Actually work with a Patriot.
Mm-hmm.
My boss, actually. And who do you give? Y'all can all answer unless you just agree or disagree. Who gets the credit? Who gets more credit? Tom or Bill? For their runs, their run.
I think in the beginning, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, especially toward a few of those last ones,
Tom. Yeah, because it was a 10-year space before they got that next one. I think Tom ascended because he went away from Moss, and then it was like, it was a drought. It was a real drought. Because that 2007 year, they were supposed to go undefeated and win that Joker, man. And they played around with the Giants in a sense of mind games, and it failed. Like, you can't play mind games with a defense like that. You can't play mind games with a team that sit there and went to Lambeau, beat the Cowboys with T.O. and Tony Romo. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you had Moss with it. But it's like when Tom Brady tore his ACL, saw Matt Castle about to, like, Matt Castle? Like, he ascended and was like, let me get this together. And he just went crazy. And that's where I think that's where I agree with you. Tom took over. And it was like, I can do it. Just put this here. But give me Jules. Or give me Welker. Give me Jules. Give me Gronk. I got Gronk. Okay. Aaron Hernandez, yep, that failed. But it just constantly kept something. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think what fell off was when they won the Super Bowl against the Falcons, you know, the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, you know what I'm saying, becomes a thing because it's like, it's like, damn, like, you really trying to get us, you know, a person to send me now? I was thinking I was going to be playing till that was, you know, for he had this notion I was going to be playing my 40s anyway. But y'all trying to get somebody to push me out the door already?
Right.
Already? Like, okay. Like, that's what's up. And that's wild to sit there and think about to where, like, this man knew he was going to be playing to this age right now. He was just like, you know, y'all going to play with me? I'm going to be out of here.
Dobson told me Ben said he was playing until he was 45.
Yeah, he been saying.
Right.
I think he might have said 50.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what, yeah.
I think that question is kind of like it's unfair to because Belichick drafted him.
Yeah.
Put him in the game. Yeah. Like he was the beginning.
Yeah.
He let it blossom.
Mm-hmm.
But when that shit blossomed, it over. I mean, it was so great. I mean, it carried.
And Tom helps his side as far as it being more him, the success being more by going to Tampa, the Bucs right. And winning it right. Again.
And by yeah, and then with a way different coach. I mean, I'm talking about a.
Yeah,
coach. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, you going to him? You're going to throw your name out in the media? You're going to sit there and want to pass the ball down the field all the time? You're not dinging and dunking? Like, mm-hmm. We want a ring.
Like, I look at it. To me, I look at it just like the Shaq and Kobe deal. Like, you, everybody want to say who, which one? It's both. To me, it's a collective. Right. It's collective, man. Yeah. They both. One couldn't do it without the other, basically.
Right. Really could.
Right, because would there have even been a Tom Brady without Belichick?
No doubt.
And that's the whole key. And that's the whole thing. Like, yeah, Tom.
The Shaq and Kobe one, though, it's so basketball, man. Like, the Shaq and Kobe thing, it's not a coach and player. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's two players. So yeah. it's like totally with like, because people will sit there and say, well, Phil with Jordan, you know what I'm saying, and Pippen, or you know, Phil with Shaq and Kobe, you know what I'm saying? Like, who, you know what I'm saying, how great can a coach be, whatever. I think in basketball is different. Football, you know, the head coach is like, you know, Bill Parcells, you know what I'm saying? Like, we remember through the years and the guys like that, Tony Dungy, you know, Bill Walsh, if I go all the way back there to those guys, that knew how to build a team. I mean, like, building a football team, you know what I'm saying, back, you know, it's just like one of the, you know, football was made up on the military. You know, the military had a lot of involvement in making the sport football. You know, you had your field, you got your, you know, you're fighting for your position, you know, you are, you know, you're going here to this end zone, this is trying to, you're trying to get here, they're trying to get there. So it's like, when you sitting there constructing that, like, it Bill Belichick, you know, did that in that matter. He was with Bill Parcells. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he got all of that and knew how to construct that. You have to get, he has to have somewhat of, like, a big credit because, like, people are like, oh, man, but he was, you know, losing it. He got fired in the Browns, and he wasn't doing real good to pay. But it was like he was still putting things together that Bill Parcells and things he wanted to put together as himself because he built his own knowledge. So it's like he gets a big credit. But it's like when people say who, you know, the toss of who gets it, it's just like you look at the player because it's the things that they've done. But it comes from the teaching, the tutelage of, what, you know what I'm saying, Bill Belichick is like, hey, like, I make this guy a classroom guy, whatever, like, it got to the point where Tom was just like, I'm tired of it. So it's like, he goes to another team and wins, but does it detract from what he still learned from Bill Belichick? Because he was still this kid from Michigan, people from Michigan Wolverines that never started. He was in and out the lineup.
What, he
ran a five? You know what I'm saying? Like, But here's the thing where Tom gets the bolster for his career. Tom got a little quicker. Tom's arm got a little stronger. Tom was able to still be playing at 45. Tom can sit there and say, hey, man, like, I had at 40 years old the quickest release in the NFL of all active quarterbacks. That's crazy. The quickest release in all active quarterback. We're talking about guys like Kyler Murray sitting there throwing it like a baseball. Patrick Mahomes.
Accurate.
Right. So, that's why I say with the player and coach, it's always so, it's like, it goes like that. Especially with football. You know, it's just, that's that question. It's hard to go to sit there and say, man, Bill Belichick, just no, flat out no. It's gotta be stretched out like that, man. If that answers the question.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It is different. I get what you're saying. Shaq
Shaq was a force, man. Like,
yeah.
And didn't Kobe won another one without him, right?
Yep.
With Gasol and them. Yep.
But I'm gonna be completely honest with you. Shaq is the most like dominant player we know in the NBA. Shaq, come on, like, yeah, I mean, but Wilt Chamberlain was something else. But Shaq, like, he made center sit there and be like, man, that hurt. Like, I gotta go to the next two possessions. I gotta play offense. My chest is hurting.
Yeah, prime Shaq.
Right.
And he had touch.
Right. So when he got with Kobe, this is my only thing, man. This is my, and it's not no like defense to Kobe or nothing like that. I'm not here all for that. When Shaq seen Kobe leveling up, Shaq was like, you know, like the meme, the picture where the person in the fourth quarter and they leaning like this, yeah, getting into the game. When Shaq seen Kobe doing this, he was like, yeah, that was the same meme, but it was like, she. I mean, we got this guy.
Yeah.
That kind of answers a question right there when people say the whole Shaq and Kobe thing of like who gives more credit. But it's not saying who gives more credit, but it was like, was it an equal tandem? Was it more Shaq or Kobe? But it was like, Shaq got more lazier as Kobe kept going up. He was like, come on. Wait to the playoffs, I get 36 and 20, you know, and it's dominating. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying nothing bad about Shaq, but I think it was an equal tandem, more so when people want to say Shaq.
I think they both had their moments.
Yes. Yes. That's a good way to say it. They both had their moments. I just, when people look at Jordan and Pippen, it's like Jordan and Pip, you know what I'm saying? I think it was, yes, that's just my thing. That's my whole thing with the Shaq and Kobe thing.
Did they both get MVPs? Finals MVPs?
Mm-mm. No, Shaq owned that. And Sam, do you think that Steph Curry had an argument about being better than Kevin Durant on those teams? When they won those rings?
What, like finals MVP or just overall?
Overall.
I mean, yeah. But it wouldn't be just about the numbers. I think it's pretty evident now that he had a case.
I think after Steph hit that weight room, there was definitely a case.
I agree too, though, because like moments. KD stepped up in big moments that we'll never forget, but the season is longer than those moments. Yeah. It's like, and you know, they coexisted well, I think. But Steph, I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves. A lot of times in these conversations, he's starting to, and I guess it takes time, but
it's because a lot of the shit that he do is stuff that the casual basketball fan, either one, you can't see it, or two, you don't understand it. Like, a casual basketball fan doesn't understand how much of an impact it has when the point guard can, for one, shoot from anywhere inside half court, and two, never stops moving. Like, he literally moves the whole possession.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they just put a stress on the defense constantly. You got to know where he's at. You got to make sure there's a body in front of him.
He knows that,
too.
Yeah, and everybody on the team knows it. So mm-hmm. It's like, it just makes the offense that much easier because the defense, they know that they cannot lose Steph Curry.
And the reason
we're willing to give up shit.
The reason I give him all the credit in the world and the reason he's, to me, making his way to that, whatever they call Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Is or just in the top 10.
As a small guard, like in the NBA, small guards ain't had his type of success.
We talk about that shit
all the time. Mm-hmm. Just have it, man. Yeah. Like, not small, I should say small guard led teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, you had Tony Parker, but he didn't lead the team. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But my man, Isaiah Thomas,
yeah.
Iverson came close.
Iverson came close, yeah. But Steph is doing it and doing it
and
well.
Did it consistently too. Mm-hmm. Not just
he
one
got
time.
Four of them, man. Yeah. That's why in my top 10, where I have him, what, 5, 6? Number 6.
I got him top 5.
See, that's crazy.
Because, I mean, literally, I got an argument, but yeah. I mean,
it ain't a lot of people that are putting that high.
I know.
I mean, like
I said, think if he get another ring, it's another 3 rungs he going.
I don't because he need another ring, truthfully, but.
I'm just saying if, but yeah.
It's just that they going to always, I like how Sam put it, too. Like,
you know, about a guy who shot 40% every single year of his career, yeah, nobody, and he's the leading person
on
his team.
Would put ahead
yeah,
of
he's not some off the bench three-point shooter.
The way he doing it, he doing it different.
Right.
He changed the game.
Right.
All these kids is following right. what he doing.
Right.
Coming in the gym shooting three.
Like
but the people that people usually have ahead of him right now, and of course, is people that. Either played above the rim, mm-hmm. or like Magic was mm-hmm. played all positions, mm-hmm. and they did it in their symbol, in their way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But ain't nobody done it like how he doing it,
right? Because
nobody.
Because it mean, because like you agreed, like Tracy McGrady can shoot, right?
Yeah.
You know, like you like shooters, like you know people like you could tell like Allen Houston like shoot, but it's like. Steph Curry is like, I can do that and like be high volume. Like there was no, I scoured stats. There's no guard.
Man, them things
that's average 6-point-something attempts. I think it was like 6.8 attempts and shot 40% their whole career. And I'm talking about everyone is like 6-5, you know, it's don't hit 4 or 3. He's not averaging no 3 or less. 3-point. He's shooting 5 or better attempts a game mm-hmm. and shooting 40%.
Green light.
I mean, like, this, and that telling you that, like, I'm not no novelty ass 3-point shooter or somebody, you know, they gotta run plays for the, you know, they run plays for, but get what I'm saying? I'm the shit without being above the rim.
And could come and still finish in the paint at a high percentage. Knock down mid-range at a high percentage. Free throws.
Is layups, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that thing is layups.
And to not have an ego.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's big.
Bigger?
I think that's big.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
It's him.
But you can
see, like, Tim Duncan.
But he still has that pride in his game.
Yeah, though. Like Tim
it's
Duncan.
It's not negative, yeah.
I'm a torch you. But I ain't selfish. We gonna get it through it with him and kill the game. Yeah, I'm a low maintenance superstar.
Facts. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's a good. That's good.
Would you have KD in your top 10?
Ever?
Like all time? I had him in mind, but I took him out because I had him on mind because I had him in mind and I had to remove him. I was like it just like because now it's direct in the trajectory because it.
You would have to be talking about skills alone.
See, yeah. I was going to say yeah. You got to distinguish. If you're looking at that,
mm-hmm.
skill-wise.
For top 10.
That was my angle. That was my angle. That was my angle.
Eye test, yeah.
That was my angle.
But you can't have that criteria just for certain people. And then
mm-hmm.
everybody else, you're looking at accolades. But for KD, you're going to be like, but he's 6'9", 6'10", and he can do everything. So right. I'm going to put him on. Like, skill-wise, we know.
I felt like Russell kind of baby sabotaged him, and then he goes to the Warriors and wins. But then that guy's a gripe. And then he goes to Nets, and then that implodes. And I put a lot of that blame on him. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's where I dropped him off my 10. It was like, you're not going to win because I just feel that you just, like, I'm a hooper. Like, he feels like this is coming to the wreck and hoop. I've got my hoodie on, I'm taking my shit off, I'm going to come out here and just hoop, you know what I'm saying? If I lose, all right, I'm cool. I'm not going to tell you, hey, you need to get it together. Hey, you need to get, hey, come on. He's not no person to sit there and say, man, let's really do this. Put this together like how we seen Kobe, we've seen Jordan, we've seen Magic, we've seen Shaq even. We've seen all these players sit there and have a Greek freak, took this team and made Middleton, Drew Holiday. He took these players now, Javon Carter playing, like, they know because that man is sitting there looking at him like, let's get it.
Yeah,
but Kevin Durant is like, good. Yeah. He can do what he wants.
He ain't in my top 10. Go ahead.
I think that he should be in there, but he's not because of whatever you want to call it, his mentality, his approach. You know what I mean? Like he's not a leader in a lot of ways. The only way he is a leader is by his skills.
Mm-hmm. He's got no interest in leading. He just wants to. That's why the Warriors was perfect for him.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's what top 10 all time needs to have.
Yeah.
His approach and his mentality was wrong, even though everything else is right.
And it's ironic that we're talking about is this man in the top 10 or not, when just, two, 3 years ago, is he the greatest player in the world? Is he better than LeBron?
No question.
Like, it's crazy, man. And then when you see,
he breaks down.
Go out there and lead, you know, how do you put him that high?
Yeah.
Now we talking about top 10. First it was Bron up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Longevity.
I get a lot of flack for me because I put Kobe above LeBron, and I know it's a hard fight, but I still fight it, and I don't care. I put my dukes up, and I throw my rights, I throw my lefts.
You're a Laker for one, and for two, you can always have that argument. I don't see nothing wrong.
Bro, I'm not a Laker fan, and they go Jordan Kobe for me.
I mean,
I'm not a Laker fan. And I go Jordan Kobe. That's my, I don't care. You can call it my personal preference, sure. But it's Jordan Kobe.
I can agree either way. I mean, you go Jordan. Man, I like the old heads that put the Kareem in there or whatever. You know what I mean? I think it's just hard when you comparing people, especially people that play different positions. You know what I mean?
That's why I said you can call different it my personal preference.
Oh yeah, but I would be all for Kobe being second.
Yeah, I look at it like, because I think I have to find my list, but I had it Jordan. I had Jordan, Kareem, Kobe, Bron.
I just want to know why nobody will never get my man no top 10.
But I have to move. I'm going to have to move. Oh, damn it.
Isaiah.
No, Isaiah.
He's one of the best point guards ever. Maybe second now with Steph. But my man owned the GOAT. He owned the GOAT.
What a smile.
A lot of people ain't going to like that, but he owned the GOAT. He beat the GOAT up in the playoffs all the time.
Man. You know, it wasn't really him though. It was his team.
The whole team.
Mike
would have abused.
Isaiah, the only person. You know, Mike competitive.
Yeah.
Very. And you seen that the what's it called?
The Last Dance.
Yeah, you seen it. He's competitive, and the only person he hate and don't like is Isaiah.
I know, right?
Because he ain't gonna like somebody that always was.
But really, though, I still feel like Mike feels like, even though they want more series than Mike did, I still feel like Mike thinks he got the better of Isaiah, because after that sweep, they was the ones that walked off the court
over.
Salty.
Yeah, yeah. He took over.
Not even, but just the way that how that shit unfolded and they didn't shake hands and all that.
But see, it's Mike a story behind that too.
Like, yeah, I got him. Like, that was good enough for him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a story behind that, and they explain some of it, but if you go back and watch,
they got petty.
The Celtics did us like that.
Mm-hmm.
Celtics walked off on us after we dethroned them.
The Celtics were green. The Bulls were red. I look at it as like, that if you wanted to do that to the Celtics because they did it to y'all, okay. But you was playing Michael Jordan in the Bulls, and I think Jordan at some point was like not hated Isaiah Thomas. So I looked at it as like some level of respect.
Don't get me wrong. I don't agree with it.
Right, okay.
I don't agree with it. He should have gave that man his props.
Right, that's why I think Jordan felt slighted, because he was like, damn, I kind of know y'all kind of got a little older. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't going to hide behind that fact, but it's just like when metal meets the road, it's like, can we meet in the middle of court and shake hands?
Also, the nature of the game back then, like, man, it wasn't no friends like it is now. Yeah, we weren't friends, man. Yeah, so it was like, man, shoot.
Yeah.
But nah, that was disrespectful. You gotta get a man his, and he kept the throne after that for a while.
I got a nice question right here. I think this would be a nice little something right here. Where does, okay, it's not so much as where in a list, but where does Chris Paul is in a, like, what is his legacy? Where does he stand? Like, what does he, has a good standing? Like, what is Chris Paul? Because it's the craziest thing. It seems like the longer you play, the more it gets, like, they want to say this, they want to say that. But it was at one point, he was like a point guard.
He still is. He, as a floor general, he's the best ever. Assisted 4-1 assisted turnover ratio for his career. Show me another one. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
4-1 is ridiculous. And I mean, we just talked about how hard it is for a small guard-led team to win. And he's not even a scoring guard, so it's even harder double time for him. He never won the big. Mm-hmm. It is what it is, but it's still.
The only way I could say that, man, I got to agree to disagree because it then never translate. Now, if they don't block the trade, we don't know. But it then never translate to winning anything. Like,
but that's because he a small guard. He never got those. A point guard like that need to be teamed up with an elite big man.
Yeah, and that's where I said if they wouldn't have
elite.
With all the super teams they've allowed, why would they ever block that trade?
There wasn't no super team back then, and plus that was a unique situation where the NBA was the owner of the New Orleans franchise at that time, so they had the power to do that. Well, it's not like that no more. All the NBA teams have owners now.
We also saw some chances that he had, you know, later on after that.
Yeah, he's just
freak injuries.
He just
freak injuries.
I think for me, I put him in the same category unless he wins it, like John Stockton and Barkley, Steve Nash. Like you're really, really good. All like, but you ain't never won. You never got the win. I mean, not yet. Yeah.
I don't think he will. Nah, I don't think it take away from his legacy because he never had the tools he needed to really win. He's been on some decent teams, some good teams, but really, for a guard like him, he needed to be paired up with an elite big man.
He's had a lot of chances at it.
Yeah, but look at who he had. He was the best player on all those teams. Mm-hmm.
That's like, I remember they went 7 games with the San Antonio Spurs and he was all they had. Yeah. And it was the first round against the Spurs and he beat them. And it was like he couldn't have no horses behind him now.
Like his best big he ever played with was
and Blake was hurt. West,
Blake Griffin.
Yeah. Blake was hurt.
Blake was cool, but he wasn't.
And DeAndre Jordan was
with an elite big. Like if you would have put him with like a Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
It would have been wild.
It's just.
Or an elite wing.
Yeah.
It comes down.
The best he ever had was a running mate in James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody that was not even really regarded as the best ever without those. Right. We know how that go, that conversation go, mm-hmm. without winning because.
For me, as being a
point guard. I know you can look at it without the rings. I feel you.
Me being a point guard and knowing how hard it is not to turn the basketball over, to have a career assist to turnover ratio of 4-1 is ridiculous.
It's crazy. It's pretty crazy, man. That's why I say, like, I look at Chris Paul when people talk about Chris Paul. It's like, oh, he ain't never win. You know, I just hate that. Like, because, you know, Barkley.
Every team he ever played on better.
Right.
Even when they thought he was going to get bought out by the Thunder. Look what he did with that Thunder team.
I was going to say something like with Barkley, who played the power forward position uniquely. You know what I'm saying? I think he put his own blend into it and then took a chance and went to Phoenix. and he took a team to the finals. Mm-hmm. I just look at that as where when Barkley gets mentioned, it's like, oh, you never got a ring, especially in those times where I think that was heavily said in his post-playing career because trying to go into the Rockets. But it's like, I look at that when people pick on that notion, it's like, I look at somebody like a Tracy McGrady. And it's like, I watched his Pivot interview, and I always kind of picked on him a little bit, but hearing him, I kind of changed a little bit because it's like, man, like, look at my teams, because it's alluding to what Sam said. Like, the best team I got was with Yao Ming, and then boom, I tear my ACL, and he was like, what, I helped it, what, like, he said he looked up to God, was like, well, what, like, why me? Like, why? He said, finally, I got a team. Tough. You know what I'm saying? Chris Paul, game 6. Owning the Warriors with KD, hamstring, bow.
But they still weren't going to win.
They were going to win that game. They were going to win that game. With Chris Paul, they had y'all dead in the water. Because y'all lost to the Raptors. Y'all are dead in the water. Like, they were going to beat That's y'all. Not the
same year.
Yeah. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you sure?
We played the Trailblazers in the Western Conference Finals the year that we got beat by the...
That right there, good people, was a real nice conversation. I think a miscommunication came to an end with, you know, having guests coming in and out and stuff like that. That right there was, you know, a discussion that was needed to be had about sports in West Virginia, the Charleston area, or, you know, We covered a lot in that and got a lot of good information out. And then we had a nice little, you know, conversation, NBA, NFL, you know what I'm saying? Just a nice little pro conversation. Like I said, I would say apologies on how it ended. It just was a miscommunication. But at the end of the day, hope everybody enjoyed this episode of Sauce Talk. With guests Sam Jones, Chaz, and HO. And like I said, if y'all don't know, go check out HO. Type in Hugh Holla, HUGHHOLLA, and go check out his music. Like I said, he didn't want to really put that out there as far as like something as a front runner of what he's doing, but it's something to go listen to because it's inspiring. It's like he says, gospel rap. The lyrics are top notch. I think this year with high school basketball, like I said, I'm going to try my best efforts to try to cover that well, to try to give you know, a little bit of a different look of how I do my episodes, where I can have a segment where I'm talking about, you know, what's going down in the high school world of sports. So we've got a little bit more coming of that. Like I said, we'll try to get more guests. They want to talk and give their opinion and things that matter, or with issues or, you know, good things that's going on around the valley. So that's my mission. But I hope everybody enjoyed this episode of Sauce Talk. We'll be back. So yeah, everybody enjoy their day. I'm out.